live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is April 15, 2020, and man oh man, just when you think the weather is breaking right, just when you think that spring may just be here, just when you think we have turned the tide, Michigan slaps us in the face and reminds us that yes, we all do live in the unpredictability that is Michigan weather. It's snowing, folks. As I turn to my right and look out my window, it is snowing. It has been snowing since yesterday. It's mid-April. What do you expect, though? Again, it's Michigan. We gotta remind ourselves that. We have to remind ourselves that, all right? So I plan on keeping you a bit warm here with a hot edition of WKAR's Current Sports on this midweek episode. We've got a few things to get to because there are some very intriguing storylines coming out of the world of basketball recruiting. I am going to tell you about how it's been a pretty bad week for Michigan men's basketball coach Juwan Howard, who is now going into his second year. And does the first year really count for Juwan Howard? Because his team didn't get a chance to compete in the Big Dance. Just a very odd year due to the coronavirus pandemic. But, you know, it's still, for me, it feels like Juwan Howard is still in his first year. But in the world of recruiting, there was a story that broke not too long ago, yesterday actually, concerning a very big recruit who is swerving playing for Howard and is deciding to play professionally, looking at professional basketball options. I'll tell you who that player is, and I'll give you expanded thoughts on why this may become more and more common when it comes to high school basketball prospects who are wanting to go to the NBA, who are looking at pro options, looking at college hoops and saying, all right, you won't pay me. I can go play professionally, get paid for a year, and then continue to get paid when I get drafted, hopefully, in the association. So I'll tell you about that story. Also, Imani Bates. I got some thoughts on Imani Bates, who won the Gatorade National Basketball Player of the Year Award given to the nation's top high school baller. For the first time, though, Bates claiming this award as only a sophomore. Just putting in perspective just how good Imani Bates is. He is truly the Jesus Shuttlesworth of our nation right now. The kid is mad real. And I'll tell you about how Bates got the news, because he got the news via a pretty big young NBA basketball superstar. So I'll give you those details. And, you know, yesterday on the show, I gave you details concerning my Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott apparently throwing a party in Texas over the weekend. You know, with everybody being on stay-at-home orders, you know, gatherings of 10 or more people are prohibited out in Texas. But apparently Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott ignored this, and they decided to throw some kind of shindig over the weekend. And it got them in a bit of heat. I'll just say that. Okay? So Dak Prescott has come out and expressed some frustration, and he has provided some clarification as to that story. All right, so we'll get to that. And tell you how sports may resume soon, hopefully, fingers crossed, but don't hold your breath. If you would like to be a part of today's current sports, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can text, not call. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page there. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, five-star forward Isaiah Todd has decommitted from Michigan basketball and will now look to play professionally next season. His mother told that to ESPN yesterday. Todd, who plans to sign with an agent, won't play college basketball in 2020-2021. This is what Marlene Venable, Todd's mother, this is what she had to say. Quote, "We are exploring pro routes." Now, Venable said they haven't decided where Todd will play next season, whether overseas or domestically in the G League. But Todd, who is a 6'9" power forward from Virginia, who attended Word of God Christian Academy in North Carolina in Raleigh, he is ranked the number 13th prospect in ESPN's 100 for the 2020 class. When he committed to Michigan in October, he was the first top 15 recruit Michigan had landed since the ESPN recruiting database started in 07, and the first five-star commit for new head coach Juwan Howard. But Isaiah Todd and his mama are exploring pro options, want to get paid right after high school, and are saying thanks but no thanks to the Michigan men's basketball program and Juwan Howard. More on that story in just a moment, all right? Imani Bates from Ypsilanti. He is the Jesus Shuttlesworth of today right now. He was awakened with good news yesterday, as he has been named Gatorade's National Player of the Year in high school basketball, becoming the first sophomore to win the award. Pretty remarkable, right? And he was informed during a FaceTime call with the NBA's Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, the young budding star for the Boston Celtics. Now, Bates beat out Evan Mobley of California, Cade Cunningham of Texas, the top-ranked seniors in the country. The 6'11 Mobley has signed to play at Southern California next season, and the 6'6 Cunningham is headed for Oklahoma State. Now, Bates could potentially be selected with the number one overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. This is what Jason Tatum had to say concerning what Imani Bates may do after his high school career is done, and he's debating on going to the NBA or maybe making a commit to play for some D1 college out there. This is what Tatum said when it came to his own progression as a player. Quote, for me, when I made the transition coming out of Duke, I was well prepared. Taking that 1 year from high school and being able to get my body right, learn from Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, and play in different environments. Doing that in college really helped me out. Now, in no way is Jason Tatum like prying Imani Bates to go to college for a year. At the end of the day, Tatum made it very clear that Imani Bates must do what's best for Imani Bates. He's just pointing out the benefits of going to college, even just for 1 year. He's pointing out the benefits of what 1 year in college can do for your game and making you more prepared for the next level. Again, it varies from player to player. Imani Bates is the real deal, and I do think he is going to be a star when he does play professionally. So we'll see. But 1 year of college did wonders for Jason Tatum. All right, a new report says the Rocket Mortgage Classic still intends to go on, but it will likely be happening in July, and that will happen without spectators. According to a report from Golf Digest, the PGA is planning to announce a restart to the 2020 season, including a new date of July 2nd to July 5th for the Rocket Mortgage Classic held at the Detroit Golf Club. However, fans hoping to attend the event might be out of luck, as the report said the early matches in the season will likely be played without fans. The original date for the Rocket Mortgage Classic was set for May 28th to the 31st at the Detroit Golf Club. And again, this may become a thing. If we want to see sports return, the fastest way possible is to do it without spectators. I'll get to what Dr. Anthony Fauci, had to say concerning sporting events in just a moment. Now, again, amid uncertainty surrounding the coronavirus pandemic, Minnesota Vikings quarterback and former Michigan State University quarterback great Kirk Cousins, he remains hopeful that he'll be playing football games this fall. While the NFL has pressed forward with plans to start the season as scheduled, Cousins did note yesterday that he believes there are, quote, creative and unique ways, end quote, to make certain that games take place. Cousins went on to say, honestly, we practice every day in an empty grass arena and pump in fake crowd noise for away games. But more often than not, you're used to it. OTA practices don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance to them. So honestly, to go out and just play the game would kind of be refreshing. A breath of fresh air to just let us know that we don't have to have all the smoke and the fire. We can just play football. So as long as we're playing the game, I won't have a lot of complaints. And hopefully, if it's still not returned to normal, we can find a way to make it work, end quote. Cousins recently had to cancel his annual offseason throwing session with his teammates due to concerns about the coronavirus. The QB will soon begin virtual OTAs from Orlando, Florida, where he and his family are spending time at his parents' home. So Kirk Cousins has no problem at all in playing games without spectators in the stands and finds it quite refreshing. All right, Dr. Anthony Fauci, to expound upon that point from Cousins, he is the nation's top infectious disease expert and one of the faces of the United States fight against the coronavirus. You've probably seen him during multiple press conferences from the White House during this pandemic. And he says the only way professional sports will happen this summer is by holding events without fans in attendance and by keeping players in hotel rooms. This is what Fauci told Snapchat's Peter Hamby as a part of a week-long interview series. Quote, there's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put the players in big hotels wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled. Have them tested every single week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family and just let them play the season out. Now, Fauci, who specifically addressed a question about an abbreviated baseball season and the start of football, said he thought there would be enough interest from fans to watch games, even if they could not attend. So that's the question I have for current sports listeners out there. How intrigued would you be at resuming sports? I think we are all in desperation mode at this point, right? But how intrigued would you be at resuming sports, even if it is without fans in the stands? Even if you can't go out there, purchase a ticket, and sit in the stands to enjoy whatever sporting event you enjoy. Is that something you are intrigued at right now, and would you still watch? Because I think that, yeah, I'm with Fauci. I think fans would still watch. Would it take away from the game a little bit? Not just a little bit, a lot, in my opinion. But you would still have sports on your televisions. Because let's be real, man, it is very hard right now not watching sports. I am going crazy right now. I mean, I'm sitting back, and there's only so much Netflix I can watch. There's only so much video games I can play until I'm just like, all right, can I get the real deal here? And yes, it's going to be taken away from the game a bit, because we all know when players go into hostile environments on the road and have to deal with the crowd noise and the fans and the heckling, that's sports. It adds a layer of intrigue there, and it just feels like home when you're watching the game that way. But we got to adjust, and things won't be normal for a long time here in our nation. So I tell you what, by any means necessary, please give us sports back. Okay, with that being said, on the same day, Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones said the organization had communicated with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott after a report of a party on Friday at the quarterback's house in Prosper, Texas, that would have violated guidelines regarding the coronavirus pandemic. A frustrated Prescott issued a statement regarding the gathering. Quote, "I think they are certainly aware now of how sensitive these situations are." This is what Jones had to say yesterday on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He goes on to say, quote, "I don't think you'll be seeing that anymore. They are certainly guys we have the most utmost respect for. And I certainly know they understand the sensitivity of the situation we are in today. It is certainly very serious and something that we know and certainly know they understand." Now, later Tuesday, while acknowledging his role in the public eye, Prescott expressed frustration about the media coverage surrounding the gathering, which he said had fewer than 10 people. This is what Dak had to say in the statement. Quote, "I understand and accept that there are additional responsibilities and media scrutiny that come with being an NFL quarterback, but it is very frustrating and disappointing when people provide completely inaccurate information from anonymous sources, especially now. To set the record straight, I know that we all need to do our best to socially distance. And like everyone else, I am continuing to adjust to what that requires. But the truth is that I was with fewer than 10 people for a home dinner, not a party, on Friday night." So Dak says that he had fewer than 10 people. TMZ, quoting an anonymous source, says that it was a party and had more than 10 people. Who knows? At the end of the day, I just really hope that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott did not violate the social distancing rules and are taking this serious. I really hope his statement is true. Okay, and lastly, we have the UFC. As UFC president, Dana White is planning the organization's next event to be held, mark your calendars, let's hope this goes through, on May 9th at a location to be determined, as it looks to become the first major sports organization to return to a normal schedule. That's according to ESPN. Now, the event would feature a fight between Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. Last week, UFC postponed all of its events indefinitely amid the coronavirus pandemic, as White was ordered to stand down by top Disney and ESPN execs. So there you have that. Dana White is looking at the date of May 9th to resume UFC fights. All right, that will do it for today's current sports quick hit headliners. Again, you can text us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can weigh in that way. Just comment anywhere on the page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, I'll talk about Isaiah Todd deciding to play professionally, and what kind of ripple effect could this have in the world of high school basketball. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I hope everyone out there is having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I'm still amazed as I'm looking out the window right now that is snowing, that it's still snowing. And it's been snowing since yesterday. Thank goodness it isn't anything heavy. You know, we don't have layers upon layers, inches upon inches of snow out there. But still, it's snowing. It's April 15th. I just want good weather to help with all of our moods as we all self-quarantine in the state of Michigan, all right? All right, I want to turn attention right now to the top headliner for today. As I mentioned, that five-star forward, Isaiah Todd, has decommitted from the Michigan men's basketball program in Juwan Howard. Isaiah Todd, five-star prospect. A young man that certainly got Maize and Blue fans everywhere excited because he was coming to Ann Arbor to help out. He has decided to swerve the program, and he now reportedly plans on playing professionally. He plans to sign with an agent, and he will not play college basketball in 2020-2021. So, you know, his mother, Marlene Venable, as I mentioned, she came out and said that we are exploring pro routes. She told Sports Illustrated, quote, "This was a tough decision for him, but he just feels like this is what's best for him and his development. We love Michigan and Juwan Howard, but at the end of the day, he has to make the best decision for him." And this is a bad week. A bad 24 hours for Michigan basketball, because just 12 hours prior to this news concerning Isaiah Todd, if you remember, we brought to you this story yesterday. Michigan missed out on another five-star guard in Josh Christopher, who has decided to go to ASU, Arizona State University, and play out there. He says no to Michigan. And then 12 hours after, Isaiah Todd says no to Michigan, and he decides to go and play professionally. So he's foregoing, and Isaiah Todd, he's foregoing college basketball and is going to play pro. You know, and playing professionally has been the choice of a select few prospects. I really do believe that this is going to become more and more of a trend as we continue to evaluate modern day high school hoops. And as families more and more evaluate the NCAA, And how really, just how really shiesty the NCAA is. Just keep it all the way real with you guys. We all know the NCAA is all about looking out for the NCAA. Collegiate athletics, especially when concerning the big money getter sports, like college basketball and college football. They exploit these young athletes. They advertise these young athletes all day long. And these collegiate heroes, in the eyes of many, they don't get anything. They don't see any compensation, which is why I'm glad we're starting to have the conversation and we're moving toward college athletes getting paid one day. But that still isn't the case right now. Still got some hurdles to overcome there. It's going to happen, but it's going to happen in the next like 2-3 years. So can you blame a young man who is looking at things and saying, all right, I can go to college, play for a year, not get paid. Yeah, certainly I'll develop and we'll play against some top talent. I can learn under some of the greatest basketball minds out there. Or I can get paid, play professionally somewhere, either go overseas, get some cheese there, or play in the G League where I'm playing against some NBA prospect talent, going against NBA bodies. That can certainly help in my development. I'm getting coached by guys who know what I must do in order to make the association. And again, get paid doing it. This may become a trend here. I mean, can you blame Isaiah Todd? Look, Michigan fans, I get it. This hurts. I mean, you got a double whammy here. Christopher chucks up the deuces to you guys, and then Todd chucks up the deuces. They both say thanks, but no thanks. At the end of the day, they are both doing what's best for them, and you can't bash a young man for doing that. Because if you were in their situations, if you somehow, some way, were blessed by the basketball gods to have that kind of talent and to have those kind of options, at the end of the day, you're going to do what's best for you and your family. Christopher looks at an opportunity at ASU as the best fit for him. Can't blame him for that. But you can't come at him for that. And Isaiah Todd is saying, look, man, I want to make money. Todd becoming the latest blue chip recruit to skip college basketball in hopes of kickstarting a pro career. And right now, Isaiah Todd, he is ranked as the 13th overall recruit in the 247 sports composite rankings. He would have been the highest ranked U of M signee in the recruiting rankings era and the first McDonald's All-American in nearly two decades. This would have been a groundbreaking get for the Michigan men's basketball program. So, especially with Christopher deciding to go on the West Coast and play at ASU, Todd would have been the guy for the Wolverines' fourth-ranked recruiting class. But that doesn't matter. You know, instead, you know, Michigan will not sign any now five-star recruits. Michigan will sign 0 5-star recruits when it looked like they had a pretty good hand in landing two of them. That's the recruiting game you play. You cannot blame Juwan Howard for this. That is recruiting in 2020. You don't know what's going through the minds of these young men. All you can do is put out your best pitch when they come on those recruiting visits. Tell them how they will best fit the scheme. Tell them they'll get a lot of playing time. Cater to them, try and woo them with everything, pull out all the stops, and just at the end of the day, cross your fingers, stay in touch with them, and cross your fingers that they choose you. And sometimes it's not going to happen. But I like what Juwan Howard is doing. You know, it's kind of like the same philosophy I see with Mel Tucker. I praised Mel Tucker last week because I love what him and his coaching staff are doing at Michigan State football right now. They are offering these top recruits. If they say no, they say no. If they decide to do something else, they decide to do something else. But at least you are taking your shot. So can you blame them for that? So the remaining players in U of M's class are 4-star guard Zeb Jackson, four-star center Hunter Dickinson, four-star forward Terrence Williams, and three-star forward Jace Howard, who again is the son of Juwan Howard, and he's decided to walk on with the team. Excuse me, and still open up a scholarship for Howard to use. So that's where they stand right now. That's where they stand. And right now, I do want to say this. Michigan State basketball, just to throw this in there, MSU basketball has the number one rated 2020 recruiting class. And that's after months of being the number two rated recruiting class. because Michigan State fans have heard how mediocre their 2020 basketball recruiting class is, ranked number 37 in the nation, sixth in the Big Ten. Fans were griping about it. And now, with Michigan, again, that you know, with the latest news concerning Christopher and Todd, it looks as though, and I'm seeing this on 247 Sports website right now, the Big Ten 2020 recruiting class rankings, the average based on the average player rating, has Michigan State now at a 97.79, and number two is now Michigan at 97.47. So, and that's because of, you know, two commitments with Matty Sissoko and A.J. Hogard. And also still a chance to improve on that with a commitment from Kareem Main. So the average rating is really good for Michigan State right now. And it's not only good for number one in the Big Ten for Michigan State, but it's also, check this, the fifth best mark in the country. You don't read that often, right? When it comes to Tom Izzo. Fifth best mark in the country? That's only behind Gonzaga, Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina. So you can throw around those numbers. You know, for if you got some friends out there, Michigan State fans, you know, we all got friends out there who bash Tom Izzo and love to hate on Michigan State sports, primarily because we are fans of Michigan State sports, right? Let them know that right now, Michigan State, as of today, on April 15th, 2020, Michigan State basketball has the top-ranked recruiting class in the conference and the fifth-best recruiting class in the country, alongside the likes of Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Gonzaga. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So, and we'll see. They can still improve on it, as I mentioned. I mean, if they do land Kareem Main, my goodness, watch out. But yeah, Michigan did take a hit, a major hit, with the news of Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd. But again, I can't blame players. I'll end this segment by saying this. I can't blame young men who look at the NCAA and say to themselves, I'm not getting paid if I go here. I can go and play professionally, either in the G League or overseas, get big-time development there, because we all know, man, you know, we see international players all the time now, every single year, coming into the association, who are incredibly developed. I mean, just look at Luka Doncic, right? I mean, you know, Luka Doncic has been playing professional basketball since he's been like a teenager. He came in ready. He's only 21 years old, and he came in so ready. I mean, he debuted for the youth academy of the Spanish club, Real Madrid, at the age of 16. Becoming the youngest in club history. And then 2 years later, he leads Real Madrid to the 2018 EuroLeague title. He won EuroLeague MVP, as well as the Final Four MVP. I mean, this kid has been balling at such a young age, going against some very good talent, and he came into the NBA ready overseas. So, if you're a young high school basketball player, a top-rated high school basketball player, because I'm saying this, this isn't for every high school basketball player out there. Some high school basketball players just aren't ready. But the five-star recruits who have potential, like the Imani Bates of the world, the Isaiah Todd's of the world, they may be ready. So after high school, I mean, why? I don't want to say waste a year, because you'll still be getting better if you play collegiate ball. But you won't be getting paid. Why not develop, get paid, and then go to the NBA? Further forcing college basketball to finally pay these young men. Because that's long overdue. Long, long overdue. So I can't blame Isaiah Todd or the Isaiah Todds of the high school basketball world who have that mentality. And you better believe that, yeah, the family also has a big influence here. You know, I read to you the quote coming from the mother of Isaiah Todd saying that we are. It's a team. At the end of the day, it should be the young man's decision. But, you know, for these young men out there, they have a circle that includes their family and friends. And they are going to, whether you like it or not, talk to their family and friends who have a major influence on that personal decision. Like mom and pops. In the case of Isaiah Todd, it looks like mom has a pretty big say in this decision. And a lot of these young men don't come from the best financial position. You could do a lot to earn some cheese right off the bat. You could help the family out. That's also another layer that you got to look at. And these players want to make money at the end of the day. Can't blame them, period. And in the case of Imani Bates, I mean, can you blame him? I mean, this is a young man who, as we predict, it looks as though by the time he comes out of high school in 2022, it's going to be open for him to make that leap directly from high school to the NBA. If this kid is a lottery pick or guaranteed millions are sitting there waiting on him, he would be crazy. Crazy not to go straight to the league. To leave millions on the table and to risk that. I mean, you know, if you do go play college ball, yeah, I'm hearing Jason Tatum, and it does a lot for your development. You know, your body's more ready. I get all that. But look, man, if you go to college, play college, and let's just say you don't have the best collegiate year and your draft stock drops, I mean, how devastating would that be, knowing that you could have went straight from high school, got absolutely paid? I mean, come on, man. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for Imani Bates, who I'm going to get to in just a moment here. Let's hit our final break, and I'll talk about Imani Bates and the hype that is Imani Bates, and Bates becoming the first sophomore ever to win the High School Basketball National Player of the Year, sponsored by Gatorade. How about that? That and more. You are listening to the Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, beautiful people, I want to talk about Imani Bates, this young man is so impressive on so many different levels. Imani Bates, Ipsy. He was awakened with good news on Tuesday via FaceTime with Boston Celtics forward Jason Tatum, which isn't that really cool? You know, that relationship that Imani Bates has with Jason Tatum. I mean, Imani Bates is already forming these relationships with NBA basketball talent. It's pretty awesome to see, and it still blows my mind that we have this kind of basketball talent right in our backyard here in the great state of Michigan. You know, I told myself, I was actually chatting with my family last night, and we were talking about, man, how we should be watching right now Imani Bates compete for a possible chance at a back-to-back state title. Because I for sure was going to watch that young man in person this year. He's so good. There's so much hype around him, which I do worry about. I mean, you always worry. You can't help but worry. Excuse me. You can't help but worry about the mental of a young man who has this much hype around him because he's still in high school. Still in high school. You know, it's the same worry that many had when it came to LeBron James. I mean, the world is bowing at your feet, and you are only a sophomore in high school. But, you know, what I see from Imani Bates is that he has a great circle around him. He's got a great family, specifically his father, keeps him humble, keeps his head right. And he is just so competitive. That's what I really love about Imani Bates. You know, we've been talking about this Mamba mentality, right? That Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant, adopted throughout his playing career. We've been talking about it since, you know, we talk about it a lot because of the passing of Kobe earlier this year. And Imani Bates has that Mamba mentality, that mentality that I just don't want to beat you. I want to stomp on you. I want to embarrass you. I want to be the best. I'm going to work hard every single day. I'm driven. Imani Bates has that. You know, there are countless stories. If you have not read the Sports Illustrated feature on Imani Bates, check it out. And it puts in perspective just how competitive this young man is. But again, being named Gatorade's National Player of the Year, become the first sophomore to do so. You got to stay humble. Got to stay hungry. And I do believe the hype is real around this kid. It really is. I mean, when you look at him play, he's got great length. He can shoot. He can drive. He's got great court vision. I mean, he really is. And again, I take this with a grain of salt in saying this. But his game reminds me a lot. At 6'9", averaging 32 points this year, his game reminds me a lot of Kevin Durant, who is arguably the best scorer in the league today. He could potentially be selected with the number one overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. This is what Tatum, who actually won Gatorade's award in 2016. Again, that award given to the top high school basketball player in the nation. Tatum said, quote, "He's the real deal. I've seen him play and work out in person, and I've seen his highlights on Twitter. He can do it all. I told him he has what it takes, and everybody knows it. He just has to stay motivated, hungry, and keep working." Again, that's coming directly from the mouth of Jason Tatum, who knows what it takes to make it in the NBA, who is a Gatorade National Player of the Year award honoree back in 2016, 4 years ago. Kid's amazing. Former winners include LeBron James as well. Also, Gatorade has recognized the nation's best high school player since 1986. J.R. Reed won the award that year. He went on to star at North Carolina and play in the NBA. And Bates does not appear to be interested in reclassifying to make next season his last in high school. That's a move that will put him on the path to play college basketball early and will guarantee his eligibility for the draft in 2 years. His father, E.J. Bates, said, quote, "There's really no focus on reclassifying up." So, you know, Imani Bates is going to keep his regular classification in high school. And again, by the time he comes out in 2022, the rules should be in place that you can make that leap from high school to the NBA. And again, for Imani, it is just about continuing to work hard, not getting a big head, and trucking along. And again, if he is a top five pick, look, man, make the leap. You know, if he were to skip college, he would join previous Gatorade Player of the Year winners. You know, I mentioned LeBron James. I mentioned Reed. Reed was the first one. But, you know, throw in Al Harrington. Throw in Dwight Howard. Throw in the man who I just mentioned, the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant. Directly to the NBA, straight out of high school. Some players are ready for that leap. Some aren't. But some are. And there's just something about this kid. When you watch his highlights, for those who have seen him in person, who have been blessed to see this young man in person, you see it. You see it. I mean, he's 6'9", 205 pounds. He's skinny because he's so tall and lengthy. You know, he's going to put in the work, in the weight room, to maybe add some more muscle to his frame. But again, you don't have to be the buffest guy in the NBA. Yeah, you gotta have some weight to you if you want to succeed. But we've seen skinny athletes. I mean, Kevin Durant, my goodness, he's a bag of bones. And look at what he does. And the way the game is played now, it's not really a physical game anymore. It's a finesse game. Imani Bates will ball out at the NBA level, I believe. It's just about that muscle between the ears for him, which I do believe he is going to be just fine with controlling. Again, when you got SI coming at you, when you win this award, I mean, in February, ESPN analyst and former, speaking of the Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum, former Celtics center Kendrick Perkins, he went on ESPN's The Jump and said that Bates could be a lottery pick this summer. Said that right now, junior, senior year? Nah, man. If he was to come out right now, he would be a lottery pick. And he probably would. He probably would, just based on his potential alone. Just based on the potential of Imani Bates alone, he could. And it's really exciting. I mean, this young man is incredibly exciting to watch, and his potential just gets you really excited to check out. All right, okay, as we close out today's current sports, I guess I'll dive more into this topic tomorrow, the topic of sports resuming. When would you like to see sports resume? What's a realistic timeline and how different it will be? Because I think that's where we're heading when we do see sports resume. I don't think fans, spectators will be allowed to attend. Just how game-changing would that be and how much will it impact the game? I'll get to that on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll also have Throwback Thursday for you and so much more. Until then, folks, I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.